Nice to catch up with Tony Dungy once again. 13 years as a head coach in the National Football League, split between the Buccaneers and the Indianapolis Colts. And, of course, he won the Super Bowl against the Chicago Bears. First NFL head coach to defeat all 32 NFL teams. And he and his wife have gotten together for a book that we'll talk about just a little bit later on, but it's a wonderful book I hope everybody will check out. Tony, I've always asked players from various sports about going into retirement, how tough it was, what was the thought process, and I'm just wondering, I've never asked a coach about what that separation was like after it's been such a big part of your life for such a long time. What was it like for you?
You know, for me, Ron, the first thing that happened, I missed the players and I missed the coaches on my staff. You know, as you said, for 13 years, a head coach, you have 53 players, maybe 15, 16 coaches, and you're with those guys every day. So you feel like you're losing a little bit of your family, and that was tough. But for me, I didn't have the withdrawal pains or anxiety because I was actually retiring to something. I really was looking forward to being with my family more. I had some community projects that I was working on. My wife and I have started doing these children's books, as you mentioned. I had a prison outreach that I was looking forward to spending more time with. So I had some things that I was looking forward to doing, and it wasn't that I was retiring away from football. I was retiring towards something else.
It's interesting, Tony. I'm going to use a word that I think really applies here, and tell me if I'm right or wrong. I think the word is balance. Am I correct about that?
You are absolutely right. I can remember my first meeting as a professional football player with the Pittsburgh Steelers in 1977. I've got my notebook out. Coach Knoll is getting ready to address the rookies, and I'm expecting to hear about what it's going to take to get to a Super Bowl. And the first things Coach said was, hey, you're a professional football player. That means you get paid to play. But football cannot be your life. You want to do it well, and we're going to win here, but we've got to get you ready for other things in life. We've got to get you ready for community involvement. We've got to get you ready for life after football. And he felt that was part of his job as a head coach. And I couldn't have been more fortunate to play for him and to play for somebody who really transmitted that to his players.
What was the seeds for that sensibility in your life, Tony? Where did that come from?
Well, I think it came, first of all, from my parents. My parents were both school teachers. They believed in education. They believed in being well-rounded. They wanted me to enjoy sports, but they wanted me to have an education and to think about what I was going to do in the future. And then playing in Pittsburgh in the Steeler organization, Mr. Rooney had that same conversation with us, Art Rooney Sr., when we made the team as rookies, you know, and saying, hey, you're a Pittsburgh Steeler now, and understand that people are going to come out, they're going to watch you play, they're going to cheer, they're going to buy your jerseys. But every place you go, you represent the Rooney family, you represent the city of Pittsburgh, and remember that. And you have a responsibility. And they encourage people to get involved in community events and to be more than just a football player. Coach Knoll did the same thing. So I think the background of my parents and the student organization really got me off a good start in that direction.
Tony, one of the times I remember there was a time at least where most people in the media would talk about this coach being the first manager in baseball, the first black head coach in football and everything. And now, as I thought this afternoon, there are seven, if I'm not mistaken, African-American head coaches in the National Football League. What was the light that went on in the owners' minds that they decided to take a look seriously at giving African-Americans an opportunity to be head coaches in the NFL?
You know, I'm not really sure when the light came on, but I remember coming into the National Football League in 1977, and I think there were only seven African-American assistant coaches in the whole league in 2018 at that time. And so it just wasn't – you didn't have those role models there. It wasn't – for me, when I finished playing, you said, oh, boy, you know, I should go coaching because that seems natural. At some point in time, more and more guys got the opportunity. I remember when I was a young coach and people talked about me becoming a head coach. It was just kind of one of those things, well, we're going to have to wait and see. We don't know when this is going to happen. But I think once Art Shell, you know, took over and had some success with the Raiders, then it became a type of thing where we don't have to look at it and say, hey, this is going to be a big monumental thing. It just kind of happened. Lovie Smith and I were in the Super Bowl in 2006. And I think that kind of opened some eyes. Two African-American coaches in the biggest game. And right after that, it just seemed like more and more guys got that opportunity. And that's something I'm really, really proud about.
Let me talk about this book that you wrote with your wife, Laura, and it's called You Can Be a Friend. And, you had the bestseller, a number one bestseller with Quiet Strength. What was the motivation for this book, Tony?
Well, when I coach, my wife read a lot. One of the projects that she had in the Wives organizations in Tampa and in Indianapolis was going out reading to elementary school kids, reading to preschoolers, and trying to encourage kids to read. That was one of the things we were very concerned about, the graduation rates in Indianapolis. And she said, you know what, in trying to find things to read, there isn't a lot of things out there that are fun and exciting for kids but also have a good message. And so we got with Simon & Schuster Publishers, agreed to do an 8-book series with us to have some kids' books that not only were fun and illustrated well, but talked about family values. This one is about being a friend. Our first one was about dreaming and what you want to do in life. Our next one coming out will be about sharing. Just things that kids struggle with, but in the books, the parents are there to kind of help them through some of these situations and not only telling the story in a fun way, but giving something to think about, giving parents something to talk about with their kids.
One of the things I like about this book is it's multicultural, and I think that in itself sends a very strong message and probably a very strong image. Do you agree with me, Tony?
Absolutely, and that was something that we're intentional too. Not a lot of literature with different kinds of families, different cultures, with parents being involved. We wanted to do that, have some African-American children in the books, have some children from other cultures in the books. That was very, very intentional, definitely.
Yeah, when you take a look at this, do you think that both the parent and the child will come away with the message you're trying to get across to them? Because I sense that they will as I read through the book.
Well, we sure hope so. You know, the message is, that you want to look at people and who they are in judging your friendships and not what they look like or what they can or can't do. In the book, our daughter becomes friends with a girl who's in a wheelchair, and at first she feels like it won't be a lot of fun, and maybe she doesn't want to be friends because the girl won't be able to do things that she can do. But once she gets to know her, she finds out she is a lot of fun, and the parents kind of help her, again, through that. And I think it is something. I think there's messages in there for parents and children.
Let me switch gears once again on you. I know you played in the East-West Shrine Game, and we have that broadcast coming up tomorrow on the Sports Byline USA Network. What's your memory about that game?
Oh, great memories. Played with guys who are still friends of mine now. And, you're a college senior, and you've seen some of these guys play on TV, but getting to spend a week with them and get to know them, you build some friendships. But the lasting memory from the game is going to the Shrine Hospital and seeing the children that are being helped there and realizing that you are very, very fortunate, very blessed by the Lord to have a body that could play football, and see some of these kids who had a tremendous spirit but didn't have the bodies to play, and see what the Shriners were doing for them and how the hospitals were helping them. Memories I'll never forget.
And you also have a personal experience, do you not? Your son was one of those that was treated at the Shriners Children's Hospital, if I'm correct.
Absolutely was. We have a son who had a congenital problem at birth, had a lot of bone injuries. We had to get a lot of splint work done, some protective gear. Shriners did it all at no cost to us and, actually got him through his childhood years where I don't think he would have made it through unscarred otherwise. And, again, I hadn't seen that side of it. I'd seen them protecting other children, helping other children, and when we needed it, they were there. It was just pretty unbelievable to come full circle, years later and say, hey, well, a game that I played in and raised some funds for the Shriners Hospital came back and helped our kids years later.
We got about 45 seconds left, but Tony, how happy are you to see the way Mike Vick has not only turned around his career but also his personal life?
Really delighted. Michael made some mistakes early in life, and we all do. He got a second chance, and he was very, very determined to make the best of that second chance. I really am happy for him. I'm proud of the Eagles organization, and to do what he's done and make people see that, hey, everybody makes mistakes, and if we give people a second chance, they can recover and be productive. I think that's a great lesson.
A lot of people were whispering in his ear. What was it that you said to him?
I just talked about something that my dad told me when I was very young. I'd get in situations where I'd make a mistake. He'd say, you can't always help what you did before, but what are you going to do now to make the situation better? And that's what I asked Mike, and he said, you know, I want to get back, I want to be with my family, I want to make the situation better for them, I want to use this second chance to make myself the best quarterback I can be, and I'm really proud of him for doing that.
Tony, I want to thank you for your time. Congratulations. I hope everybody will check out this book. It's called You Can Be a Friend. And Tony, when the next book comes out, come on back with me on Sports Byline. Let's talk about it.
Would love to, Ron. Thank you for helping us out on promoting this. I think it's something that parents and kids will really, really benefit from.
Tony Dungy with us, 13 years as a head coach, a Super Bowl winning head coach, as we continue on Sports Byline.